I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
We hope you enjoy the show.
We hope you enjoy the show today. We've got some good stuff lined up for the podcast. I got some geek culture that should get you chuckling, and we've got, of course, the news of the week. By the way, this is podcast number 90. Imagine that, 90 straight weeks of podcasting, and here it is on May the 26th of 2007. Yeah, finally made it over into the 2000s. Normally I try to say 19-something, but it is indeed 2007. It's only taken me 7 years to get used to that idea. Anyway, we've got some cool stuff going on. First of all, let me tell you about our geek culture. This geek culture is a little bizarre. In the venue of being the computer curmudgeon, of course I go back quite a ways in the computer world, and I can remember working at Ciba Geigy Corporation in Greensboro, and we got our very first compact portable computer. Now, it was the very first portable computer, and portable was maybe a little bit gracious, to say the least, because it was a big, huge box. It weighed 22 to 23 pounds, and it was heavy and huge, but it was, for its day, an amazing portable computer. Now, by today's standards, with laptops that weigh a pound, it was huge and heavy, but you could at least lug it. You know, we affectionately called them luggables back then. And, of course, they had tremendous power. Oh, my goodness, they had a big 4 megabytes of memory. I know some of you probably think, how do you even run an operating system with just 4 megabytes? But you gotta remember, we're talking the early 1980s. And back then, you could not only run a whole operating system in 4 megabytes, you could actually run useful applications as well. So what does that mean about where we've come to? At any rate, back in those days, the big thing that Compaq was trying to accomplish was to distinguish itself from IBM. Everybody was sold on the IBM personal computer. And, of course, Compaq was compatible with the IBM. It would run the same software, but it was trying to convince everybody of that. And so they had commercials. And this is John Cleese from Monty Python doing a commercial for the Compaq. Now, remember, it is an old, old videotape that has been put on YouTube, so it is a little bit fuzzy and a little bit noisy, but I want you to listen to the commercial, and I think you will appreciate the comparison that John Cleese makes of the Compaq portable computer with a dead fish. Yeah.
Hello. I'd like to tell you about Compaq's new Portable 2 computer. It's such a marvelous machine that it would be quite unfair to compare it with another computer. So, we've decided to compare it with this fish. Now, the fish weighs 22 pounds, which makes it extremely portable. It will fit snugly on the passenger seat of your car or when traveling by train on the luggage rack. By coincidence, the computer weighs exactly the same. So, nothing to choose between them so far. But how much can they remember? Well, the Portable 2 has a memory of 4.1 megabytes, a fair old number of megabytes, as I'm sure you'll agree. The fish, on the other hand, can't remember a thing. Hardly surprising, really, because it's stone dead. Expect he could give you a megabyte. That's... Oh, sorry. Anyway, I expect you've been wondering just how much IBM software this fish can run. The answer, I'm afraid, none. The Compact Portable 2, however, can run all IBM's most popular software 30% faster than IBM can. Ha, ha, ha. So, if you're looking for a powerful portable computer that doesn't smell, we suggest you buy the Compact Portable 2. Of course, choice. Sorry, I was miles away. Of course, the choice is yours.
Yeah, that's odd. But, hey, that was how they distinguished themselves back then, to compare themselves to a dead fish. And, of course, John Cleese from Monty Python. Gotta love that. Yeah. Anyway, hope you enjoyed that bit of geek culture, a little nostalgia there for those of us that have a little gray in the hair and the beard, like the computer curmudgeon. Ah, yes, I remember that Compact well. I thought it was the coolest thing. Oh, my. It had two floppy drives. It was just so cool. Anyway, well, it's that time for the Geek Software of the Week. Yes, indeed. The Geek Software of the Week this week is Ventrilo. Ventrilo, of course, a play on the term ventriloquist. But it isn't how to have a dummy speak. No, it's how to use your computer to speak to other people with computers with a headset. A headset much like I'm wearing right now, which, of course, you can't see given this is a podcast and is audio only, but you're hearing me through the auspices of my lovely headset. And the idea is, with Ventrilo, you can actually have your headset on, and another person at another computer can have their headset on, and you can talk back and forth with one another, much like I and the Game Master have been doing with the Game Master segment each week. Now, as I mentioned last week, the Game Master is under the weather. I'm still a little bit under the weather. As a matter of fact, I did the last podcast on Monday, so it hasn't been that long ago. But we're both a little voice fried, shall we say. And not only that, his headset has still not been repaired. So, another week without the Game Master segment. I'm really, really sorry. But I absolutely guarantee that by next week, we will have the Game Master with us once again. I may even have a special podcast just to catch up with the Game Master, because he's had a lot of things going on. But at any rate, this software, I am trusting, will allow us to have better quality sound. Now, as you know, during the Game Master segment, the technical issue that we've run across is that we put our headsets on, we connect up our laptops, but then the sound has to go all the way to England to Skype and back. And so we get this echo, echo, echo effect going on, and that's just not good. So, what I've wanted to have is a sound program that would allow the vocal communication to occur, but to a local server right here on the LAN at drbillbailey.net, my web hosting company. And therefore, the quality should be a whole lot better. So, I put out a query to my good buddies at the Tech Podcast Network, which, by the way, this podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, indeed. And so I put out that request to the other Tech Podcast Network dudes, And I got several suggestions. I had mentioned Ventrilo in my question, and everybody said, well, yeah, it works, but the quality's not so good. Why don't you check out TeamSpeak? So the Geek Software of the Week this week is Ventrilo, since I found it first, but it's also kind of got a secondary backup of TeamSpeak. Now, I've tried both. TeamSpeak is looking pretty good, but I won't know 100% how it's going to do until I get the Game Master, my son Benjamin, a headset so that we can talk back and forth and see how it goes. One thing I will say for TeamSpeak is it at least it will record in a format that we can then use, which is a WAV format. Ventrilo uses some kind of proprietary format that's not really that useful for what I need it to do in terms of recording. So, it's looking very much like I will go with TeamSpeak, but we will find out as I get, first of all, the Game Master a headset, and second of all, that we try that out for the next segment. So, stay tuned for that. Alright, next item in our blog, by the way, the blog is, of course, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, which you can get to at
checomputercurmudgeon.com.
That's right, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Or if you'd like the short version, just drbill.cc, drbill.cc, of course, CC standing for Computer Curmudgeon. Of course you knew that. Anyway, on the blog this week, the first item after our Geek Software of the Week is that Dell has spelled out what they're going to offer on Ubuntu systems. They're going to offer Ubuntu 7.04, and they're going to be able to configure it and set it up in such a way that it will rock. That's the first of our Ubuntu news this week. Stay tuned for more. Next item, Weird Al as your tech guy? Oh, yeah. Now, you know that I have played the Weird Al song Virus Alert on the podcast before. And you know what? I think I may just play it again so that you will have a frame of reference from which we can discuss this next item on the podcast. How would that be? So, here's Weird Al with Virus Alert.
Hey everyone, listen up your attention if you please. We wanna give you a warning, cause I found out this morning about a dangerous, insidious computer virus. If you should get any mail with the subject stinky cheese, better not go taking the chances, under no circumstances should you open it, or else it will translate your documents into Swahili, make your TV record Chile, your laundry static clean. Look out, it's gonna make your computer screen freeze. Look out, erase the Easter eggs of your DVDs. Look out, erase your hard drive and your backups too, and the hard drive of anyone related to you. Virus alert, you need immediately before someone gets hurt. For this message I knew everybody, it will make all the main feel off your walls. It'll make your keyboard all sticky, give your poodle a hickey, and invest your cash in stock in Hero 50. Then it will tie up your phone, making crank long distance calls. It'll set your clocks back an hour and start clogging the shower. So just trash it now, or else it will decide to give you a permanent wedgie, legally change your name to Reggie, even mess up the peak. It's gonna melt your face right off your skull. Look out! And make your iPod only play Jethro Tull. Look out! And tell you knock-knock jokes while you're trying to sleep. Look out! And make you physically attracted to sheep. Look out! Steal your identity and your credit card. Look out! Buy you a warehouse full of pigliotards. Look out! Then cause a major rift in time and space, and leave a bunch of Twinkie wrappers all over the place. Let's ride it, some virus alert. You need immediately before someone gets hurt. Message out to everybody. someone gets hurt. Phone is missing, not to everybody. Warn all your friends, send this to everybody. Tell everyone, you know that everybody now. If you get infected, you'll wish you had never been born. So before it emails your grandmother all of your porn, turn off your computer and make sure it powers down. Drop it in a 43-foot hole in the ground. Bury it completely, rocks and boulders should be fine. Then burn all the clothes you may have worn anytime you wore a lie. Virus alert, you need immediately before someone gets hurt. Forward this message on you everybody. Virus alert, you need immediately before someone gets hurt. Forward this message on you everybody.
This soon right now.
Yes, virus alert indeed. I really love that song. Anyway, imagine that Weird Al from the Virus Alert video that's on YouTube. By the way, go to YouTube and type in Virus Alert in the search, and you will be able to watch that video. It rocks. You really got to see it to appreciate it. Anyway, guess what they've done? They've made a video game out of that video. Yep, you've got Weird Al Yankovic, the cartoon character, as the star of Virus Alert 3D, in which IT employee Weird Al takes on viruses at Company Tech Co. Incorporated LLC. Isn't that redundant? Anyway, users get to control Weird Al as he helps eliminate viruses, protect computers, unlock secret doors, and secure help through drone-like coworkers. And yes, there's even a trial version with 5 levels of gameplay that you can download for free. Check it out. Click on the link in my blog, Weird Al is Your New Tech Guy, and you can get the free version. Oh, yeah, it rocks. There you go. Anyway, you know, in the rest of the news, one of the big items was that Microsoft is trying, or is continuing to try, I should say, to destroy open source with their patent threat. Well, Ubuntu founder Mark Shuttleworth has said that Microsoft may not be the real enemy, the real threat, through their patent fiasco. He has a little article that I have a link to. Microsoft is not the threat. He feels like that eventually even Microsoft will come around to the fact that this whole patent deal is crazy. And of course, I think Microsoft is just spreading fear, uncertainty, and doubt with this whole deal. So I'm not too concerned about it, and I don't think you should be either. All right, next item. You know, as a web host at drbillbailey.net, the one thing that I don't do very often is change my own website. I think I've had, I think I'm up to the 4th version of a website since I put the site on the web around 1996. Yeah, amazingly, 11 years ago. And I'm into my 4th generation of websites for my company. Now, this new version, I like. It's simple. I think it's just got a nice, simple elegance to it. And so I put a little note in the blog with an image of the homepage of my new website. And basically, it's just a slight revamping of what we had there before. But I really like it. I think it's a little more up-to-date. And it's got a cool JavaScript kind of navigation tool that you can use for the toolbar. And I just like it. I think it's very cool. And, of course, it has the official DrBillBailey.net Zap logo, A lot of people say, what's that thing in there with your logo? It's my official Zap, you see. It's a little homage to the old days back in high school where I was known as Flash because I was the school photographer and I used a flash. And so I got the nickname Flash, and my Flash logo was kind of a lightning bolt, was a kind of a zapping lightning bolt across the top of the F in Flash. If you can imagine that top bar being a lightning bolt. Well, I kind of adapted that little Zap to the DrBillBailey.net logo. So, there you go. Our new website, check it out. I think you'll like it. I certainly do. Anyway, next item, top 10 new features of Windows Server 2008, which is the official new name for Longhorn. Longhorn, of course, is what they called it while they were developing it. And they're getting closer to releasing it now, so they've come up with a real name for it, Microsoft Windows Server 2008. Now, in the order, reverse order of the 10 new features, number 10, the self-healing NTFS file system. Pretty cool idea. Number 9, parallel session creation. And that's getting more important these days with terminal services, so, you know, instead of having a linear serial type creation of sessions, they have parallel session creation. That should speed things up a bit. Number 8, clean service shutdown. One of Windows' problems in the past has been its system shutdown procedure. And once you start shutting down an XP, for instance, it starts a 20-second timer. After that time is up, it signals user, whoa, hey, you want to terminate this application yourself? Well, in Windows Server 2008, the 20-second timer is a life clock, and it will be able to shut it down more cleanly without interrupting that shutdown process. So hopefully that will be beneficial. Number 7, Kernel Transaction Manager. And then number 6, SMB2 Network File System. Now, SMB was adopted as network file system for Windows, but the new version is supposed to be more scalable and higher performance. We'll watch and see if they pull that off. Number 5, Address Space Load Randomization. ASLR makes certain that no two subsequent instances of the operating system load in the same system drivers at the same place in memory each time. Okay, good deal. Yeah. Number 4, Windows Hardware Error Architecture. That's right, Microsoft has actually standardized the error. You gotta love that. I mean, they're so big on errors anyway. It's kind of nice they have standardization of the error. Okay, number 3, Windows Server Virtualization. Yes, virtualization is a big and growing market with VMware as the leader in that market, but Microsoft is trying to get into that, and so they have added Windows Server Virtualization. Number 2, the PowerShell. Now, this is basically the ability to be able to, at the command prompt, do useful tasks. Yeah, we've kind of come full circle, haven't we? Everybody was trying to get away from the command line because they wanted GUIs, graphical user interfaces. Now they're saying, wow, we've got to implement a command line with a lot of power so you don't even need a graphical user interface. Yeah, okay. Number 1, the server core. Now, imagine a cluster of low-overhead, virtualized, GUI-free servers running DHCP and DNS in protected environments on Windows. Now, I can already imagine all of that, clustered, low-overhead, virtualized, GUI-free server OSs in Linux. But, of course, Microsoft is trying to take the best of Linux and bring it into its new operating system. Yeah. All right, next item, 10 dead and dying computer skills. Now, this list of 10, we just had a list of 10, if this list of 10 is all about computer skills that are no longer really desired in the market. So if you're in this list, if your skill set is included in this list, it is time to retool. Okay? Let's start with number one. The number one most dead and dying skill is COBOL programming. If you're a tried and true COBOL programmer, dude, get ready to go work at McDonald's. Yep. All right, number two, non-relational database systems. Now, we know relational database systems, that's the way to go. So, non-relational database systems, forget it, dude. Number three, non-IP networks. You say, what in the world would be a non-IP network? Well, for instance, what about the old IBM SNA network? You go, huh? What's that, Dr. Bill? Yeah, I know. You got to be a curmudgeon to remember it. But if you're still dealing with non-IP networks, dude, hang it up. IP all the way. All right. Number four, CC mail. If you are a CC mail guru, forget it. Your time has come and gone. Might as well go sit in the rocking chair. Yep. Number five, Cold Fusion. Yes, I remember when Allaire Corporation released Cold Fusion, and now it's dead. At least mostly so. Number six, now this is a surprise to me somewhat, C programming. What, you say? Well, remember, we're not talking about C++. We're not talking about some of the later iterations. We're talking about plain old C programming. Somewhat outdated, sadly. Number seven, Power Builder. Yeah, haven't seen much call for Power Builder programmers in the want ads, have you? Nope. Now, this one's another one that people will probably feel is very controversial. Number eight, certified NetWare engineers. Let's face it, guys, NetWare is pretty much losing market share. So, you know, don't shoot the messenger here, but NetWare is just not going to hold on to its market for very much longer unless something very interesting and strange happens. Number nine, now this one I guarantee will be controversial. Number nine, PC network administrators. Whoa! Why would a PC network administrator be fading from the scene? Well, because, for one thing, things have gotten so much more specialized. The idea of having one person that all they do is manage the PC network, it's just not as desirable anymore. You need people who manage various segments of that network, different areas. So the skill set has gotten broader and it's gotten a little more specialized. And then finally, number 10, this is no big surprise, OS2. Not that many OS2 implementations out there anymore, is there? So there you go, the 10 dead and dying computer skill sets. So if you are in any of those categories, just remember, you need to retool those skill sets. All right, next item, another Ubuntu item, and that is the very blog that we're talking about, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. That blog is now running on an Ubuntu server system, 7.04, the very latest version, Feisty Phone. We're running now in our server farm specifically for the Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon system. So don't say that Dr. Bill doesn't eat his own dog food, as the term goes, because we are running Ubuntu. Hooray. All right, and finally, the last item, Dell is truly finally selling Ubuntu Linux PCs. I've got a link in the blog there where you can actually go to their online store and see that, in fact, they are selling Dell PCs with Ubuntu, and they specifically state, "You asked, we listened. For advanced users and tech enthusiasts, we're happy to offer a new open source operating system so you can dive in and truly enjoy a PC experience just the way you want it. In addition to the free DOS system we already offer, we're proud to announce PCs with Ubuntu." Now, They follow up that paragraph with the next paragraph. The main thing to note when you choose open source is you don't get a Windows operating system. If you're here by mistake and are looking for a Dell PC with Windows, please use the following link. Now imagine, they're warning people, oh no, these machines don't have Windows. Okay, I know, I'm kind of laying it on a bit there, but at least they are offering a Linux system for your computing enjoyment now. So hopefully it'll get less tenuous as time goes by, and as people go out and actually buy those systems and enjoy them, we'll find out that, no, the world won't end because they're not running Windows. Wow. Alrighty, well, I guess it's just about time for us to roll on out of here. And in that vein, I think somewhere in the background, yep, I hear that music. So it's time to head out of here. This has been show number 90. Can you believe it? Number 90! Well, tell you what, next week, the Game Master will be back. Hang in there. By the way, the doctor is out of here.
We hope you enjoy the show.